following announcement or not, and I'm going to do it. Someone called me today and heard that Rav Steinman said that you should not eat the shechita from Rav Levine, which is the meat that everybody here gets from Argentina, which until now has been perfectly kosher l'mahadrin. The information I have on Rabbi Levine is very, very good information, and that's the meat we've been using. I couldn't believe that that's the case. All of a sudden, Rabbi Levine became no good. And I assumed, maybe I shouldn't have assumed, but that it was a political inyan. And after checking into it with the people that I trust with kashrus, that's exactly what it is. What happened was that this Rabbi Levine came out in favor of the other side of the machlokas with Rav Steinman, and Mamela, he became posel, and his shita became posel. Here, I'm going to make it clear, we don't get involved in those things. And the makom sheyesh chilul Hashem ein cholkin kavod l'rav, even to a god. And this is a chilul Hashem. And it's the same thing that the opposite way. When they split away with the eights from the others, so all of a sudden she'eris, which was the hashgach that everybody used, all of a sudden became no good. And now they had to make a new hashgach, the soda. We also didn't stop using she'eris at that time. Right? We don't get involved bichlal in this kind of dirty machlokas. That's what it is. They're amongst the gedolim themselves, between Shmuel Orbach and Rav Steinman, I assume that they have tremendous good kavanas. But the people that surround them don't have good kavanas, are small-minded, bali machlokas on both sides, and we here don't get involved in that, and don't pick sides, and don't make meat that is 100% glatt kosher no good because of politics on either side. And if you hear this rumor, you should know that's what it is. You can use sheiris, you can use masora, you can use Argentinian meat, and all this politics here is disgusting, is a chilul Hashem, and in this situation we don't give kavod to anybody, including listening to Rav Steinman not to eat Argentinian meat based on, I'm sure it's not, he didn't say it, and I'm sure he didn't, not the one who it came from. It came from the small-minded bali machlokas that surround him. But we don't get involved in that, and there's no union of government COVID and listening in this kind of situation. Okay. It's not open for discussion. So going on. It's just very, very sickening and disheartening to know that this is what Klal Yisrael is like, right? Everybody's fighting with everybody else. Every yeshiva has two yeshivas in it because not everybody can get together. This is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and this is why we're still sitting here and not without a Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Baruch Hashem, it hasn't hit us, at least not really bad here. Okay. We still only have one yeshiva and one shul, basically. it's not the same kind of machlokas. Believe me, it's not. People aren't throwing shtenders at each other. Baruch Hashem, we handled it in a way that didn't lead to that. Even though there were people on both sides that would have loved that it should have come to that. Okay, enough. And, trying to control myself. Okay. Okay, we're up to Paragimel. That speaks about min ho'enoshi, human beings, humankind. Bar zocharnu, heyos ha'adam osa habriya hanivres lidovik bolisbara. He's continuing now as a continuation of what he said in the end of the last parak, that the whole bria was created for the sake of human beings, and everything else was created to serve human beings in enabling them to fulfill their purpose. and that human being is set between things that can bring him to perfection and things that can bring him to the opposite, and he has the ability to acquire that shlemus. V'ulam, however, in order for the purpose to be achieved, a person has to be able to choose b'chiraso ritzono, and they explain b'chiraso means intellectually to choose between truth and falsehood, and ritzono to choose between good and bad, and emotionally, two levels, which we'll go into more detail, not tonight, probably next time. Because if a person would be you would have to, he'd be forced to choose, right, that perfection, he wouldn't be called the master of his perfection, which is what makes him more like Hashem. He's not the master, since he was forced by someone or something to acquire it. Whoever forced him to acquire that perfection would be the owner of that perfection, and then he wouldn't be like Hashem, and then the intention of creation would not be achieved. Therefore the Rabbanu Shel Olam left it up to a person's free choice to choose to either acquire perfection and be like Hashem, insofar that he is the bialin, he is the source of his perfection, therefore he has to be equally between the ability to choose the right or the wrong. To choose with das, like we said, intellectually, between emes and sheker, and chefes, between good and bad. Be'ezem ehem shiyut, so whichever one he wants. Vayecholes, and a third thing, gam kein biyado liknos ezem ehem shiyut, and he has the ability to acquire them. Three things. He has the seichel to know what to acquire and what not. He has the emotions to want to acquire them, and he has the ability to acquire them, which is what we're going to speak about tonight. What?
Which one of those is the second?
The third one is the ability to carry it through and to actually do it. He has the ability to know what's right and what's wrong, to do what he desires, and to actually bring it to fruition. That's Yecholus. Okay, Nivra Ha'adam B'yetzirah Tov V'yetzirah V'abechira B'yodol L'hasot Asmo Satchu Rotze. Therefore he was created with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra, and he can push himself to either side. Okay, there's a lot here to talk about. It's not going to take us one shiur of this. It's going to take us at least three shiurim. Tonight I want to speak about something that we've spoken about in the past, but usually at times that it couldn't be recorded or people couldn't take notes. So I doubt if anybody knows all of the details of what the discussion is. One of the Mepharshim here, I've got to remember which one, the Mara Derech, who is that? I think that's a referee lender. He brings a proof from this Derech Hashem, yeah, that the Derech Hashem does not hold like the Chovos HaLevavos. Because he mentions that a person has free choice in three areas, intellectually, emotionally, and lemaisa, actually. The Chovos HaLevavos says that's not the case. And I finally found the source, because he brings down the source of the Chovos HaLevavos, where he says clearly this idea. The Chovos HaLevavos says that a person only has free choice on the choice. He has no choice, he has no ability to carry through the choice on his own, which on the surface is very reasonable, because you can choose to do something, but you can't guarantee you can do it. doing it depends on a lot of things that are beyond your control. Examples I always like to give. Person can choose to give tzedakah. Okay, he wants to give a certain ani next day of davening a check for 1,000 shekel. He writes out the check, puts it under his pillow. Next morning he's going to take it to shul and give it to the ani. That person can drop dead overnight, can't do the mitzvah. The ani can drop dead over the night, can't do the mitzvah. The ani can win the lottery overnight, become an usher, can't do the mitzvah. All the banks can fail and the check is worthless, can't do the mitzvah. There are many things that could happen that are not in your control, right, that will not enable you to do the mitzvah. So you don't have free choice to actually do a mitzvah. You have free choice to choose to do a mitzvah. That, yes. And that's where it ends. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, well, sometimes the Rabban Shalom permits you to carry through the mitzvah. That's called Megalgul in Schus, Adidei Zakat. And you have an extra schus and he let you do that. And by doing it, there is something special there. But you get rewarded and punished be'ikur for making the decision. The opposite's true. Somebody makes a decision, he wants to assassinate somebody tomorrow. Okay, gets his gun ready, the plan, the car, everything's ready. That person could drop dead overnight, can't assassinate anybody. The guy who wants to assassinate can drop dead overnight, can't assassinate him anymore. The gun may misfire. The car may not start. A million things can happen that prevent you from carrying through. Sometimes the Rabban Shalom will permit you to carry it through because he wants it to happen. That doesn't make you a tzaddik that you did Ratzon Hashem. You get rewarded or punished for your decisions based on your intention. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes wants that person dead, so he'll use your bad choice to do what he wants. So you're not going to get rewarded for killing somebody and fulfilling God's will because that wasn't your intention. You'll get punished for intending to murder. Sometimes the Rebbe won't let you carry it through. The only problem with this is that it seems to contradict a famous saying of Chazal that everybody's familiar with, and that is Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Machshav Ra L'maisa. Ein Machshav Ra Mitzarif L'maisa. Machshav Tova Mitzarif L'maisa. Machshav Ra No. So I understand that if a person had good intentions, I wanted to do a mitzvah, and I was prevented from doing it, I get rewarded for the intention. Okay? But if I have intention to do an Aveira, and I don't end up doing it because of circumstances beyond my control, which in a minute I will give you the marshal that I usually give, right? Because it's important to see the difference between two possible scenarios. I will not get punished for that. And the Chovas HaLevavos says that it works on both sides. I get rewarded for making the right decision. I can't guarantee to carry it out. I get rewarded for making the wrong decision, because I can't guarantee I can carry it out either. But according to this Chazal, you don't get punished for making a bad decision. You only get punished if you carry it out. So it seems to contradict not only the whole idea, because it seems that your carrying it out is relevant. And we said that you are not in control of that. So to explain why that is not a problem, you have to understand why Machshava Ra'a Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarif Fo L'Maaseh. Why, when it comes to good decisions, Hashem counts it as if you did it, even though you were prevented from doing it by circumstances beyond your control. You didn't change your mind. Change your mind, you never made a decision. You made a decision to do something good, you wanted to give tzedakah, the next day your bank folded and you don't have any more money. So you can't give the tzedakah. But you really meant you're going to give it. You get rewarded as if you gave that tzedakah. But the other case, where you intended to murder somebody and it didn't work out, you don't get punished for murdering somebody. Why? So let me give you two examples of where, in one case, Machshav Ra HaKadosh Baruch was yes Mitzarif L'maisa, and the other case where he's not. And when you understand the difference between the two, we'll understand why this is no question on the Chovas HaLevavos. First case. Isha hafeiram v'Hashem yislachla. Torah says a woman made a nether that she's not eating any more cake. She wants to go on a diet, and she doesn't want to eat cake, and she's afraid that she's too vulnerable, so she made a nether. I make a nether that I will never eat cake. Okay. Her husband hears her nether, unbeknownst to her. He's in a different room. She made the nether loudly, and he heard it, and he said, forget it. I don't want my wife not to eat cake. It affects me. Right, dover beinola beinola. It's something that's inui nefesh. Right, I like my wife. The more of her, the better. I don't want her not to eat cake. So, and he's made for the nether. He says muferloch. She doesn't have to hear that. He obliterated the nether. There is no nether. She doesn't know it. She goes 2 weeks without eating cake, and then she can't hold out anymore, and she swallows a whole chocolate cake. And she feels terrible, physically and spiritually. And she says to her husband, I did something terrible today. I swallowed a whole chocolate cake and I made a nether not to eat cake. The husband said, don't feel so bad. I was made for the nether. It doesn't exist. You didn't do anything wrong. Comes along the Torah and says, not true. Isha hafeiram v'Hashem yislach lo. Even though her husband obliterated the nether, but since she thought she had a nether, right, she is going to be punished and needs kapara and slicha as if she was over a nether, because she thought she had a nether. Okay. So really, what did she do over here? Nothing wrong. Just she intended to do something wrong, but she didn't, because she didn't have a nether. And she gets punished as if she did, and she needs kapara and slicha. And Rabbi Akiva learned from that, that does not apply here, applies in the regular case. Niskaven lecho boser chazir, person intended to eat treif, and by accident, he got Rabbi Levine's meat, glatt kosher. Right? What's it called? Needs kapara. Just 1 second, give an example. So over there, lechoru we say, machshova ra, kodesh baruch masar for lemaisa. That all you had was bad intentions. You ate kosher meat. Example, guy says, I'm tired of eating kosher meat. It has no taste. I want to taste a real non-kosher steak that probably really tastes great. So he goes to a restaurant in Tel Aviv, a trefa restaurant, and he orders a trefa steak. Unbeknownst to him, the kitchen of the restaurant burnt down the day before, and they can't produce any food. But they didn't want to close down because they'd lose customers. So they made a deal with the glatt kosher restaurant down the block that if anybody comes in and orders anything, they'll prepare it in the restaurant down the block and send it through the back door, serve it on disposable kalim, and the waiter goes back to the kitchen, gets on the phone, calls the glatt kosher restaurant, send me over a steak. They send over the steak, put it in disposable things. He brings it to the table. He says, I apologize that we're serving you on disposables, but we had a problem in the kitchen, but no problem, we could have your steak for you, and here it is. Nope. Person digs into the steak and he says, ah, now this is a steak, not like the glatt kosher place down the block. This tastes like something, but it is from the glatt kosher place down the block, but he doesn't know it. Does he need kapara for eating that glatt kosher steak? Yes, 100%. Clear possible. Okay? Next case. Guy walks into a non-kosher restaurant, orders a non-kosher steak. He's getting ready, his mouth is watering, getting ready to eat the non-kosher steak. The waiter comes out with a non-kosher steak, real treifa steak. And all of a sudden, a lightning bolt hits the restaurant, reduces the waiter, the steak, the whole restaurant, except for my table, to ashes. I'm sitting there. The whole restaurant is smoldering around me. No steak. I go home hungry. Okay. In that case, we say, Machshava Roa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masar for the Maisa. Since, even though I had bad intentions to eat a non-kosher steak, and I was prevented from eating it by circumstances beyond my control, God does not count it as if I ate the steak. I don't need any kapara. No tshuva. I lucked out. Ein Machshava Roa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masar for the Maisa. Okay, what's the difference between the two cases? And don't tell me the difference is here I ate it and here I just intended, because you didn't eat it. You ate a kosher steak. All you had in your mind was it was treif. So what's the difference? You ate 100% kosher. Here you didn't do anything, but you had intention of doing something wrong. Here you need kapara. Here you don't need. And all it boils down to is intention. The answer, I think, the only answer, is the following. That rule that machshava ro'a ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzarfo l'maisa is limited. It only applies to the first two times you ever did that aveira. If you've done the aveira two times, the Gemara and Kedushin, the Gemara said if you've done that aveira twice, then the third time you get punished as if you did it. Meaning the following. I walk into Sunday into the Treifa restaurant, order a non-kosher steak, they serve it, I eat it, go home. Monday I walk into the restaurant again, give me another one, it was great, eat it, go home. Tuesday I come back, I said I can't call myself back, this is great, I want a steak every day. Tuesday I walk in, I order the steak, and then the lightning bolt hits, no steak, I go home hungry. Tuesday I'm going to get punished as if I ate the steak. It's only the first two times I do that aveira that klal of machshava ro'a ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzarfo l'maisa applies. But if I've done the aveira twice, the third time I get punished. Why? The Gemara says, because kivin sha'avar adam aveira v'shana ba nasas lo keheta. Once you've done the aveira twice, the third time to you, it's your habit already. What's the obvious idea, I think? Why taka is there a difference? Very simple. The first two times, Hashem gives you the benefit of the doubt. Meaning, you ordered that steak. You were bent on eating it. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that even if had they served the steak, you would have changed your mind and not eaten it. Now, God knows everything. I'm not going to get embroiled, literally, in this. Right? But God deals with us as if he doesn't know. Because if he dealt with us as if he knows, we wouldn't have free choice. So the easiest way of explaining this is the Rebbeinu Shem chooses to deal with us as if he doesn't know. Therefore, it's possible for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to give a person the benefit of the doubt. I give you the benefit of the doubt, that had they served you the steak, the last minute you would have changed your mind. So you never really committed yourself to eating that steak. So it's not a machshava ro. Machshava ro means you really committed yourself to eat it. But if you did it twice already, there's no place to give you a benefit of the doubt. Because the third time is like it's heter, like it's mutter. So why in the world would you have backed out? At this point, I can't give you the benefit of the doubt, and therefore, machshava ro, Kadosh Baruch Hu metzarfo l'maisa. The only reason the first two times not is because God gives you the benefit of the doubt. It's done, you're kapsos. The third time, you can't do that. Therefore, there's a very big difference between where you intended to do something and didn't end up doing it because of circumstances beyond your control. There, God can give you the benefit of the doubt. You would have changed your mind before you actually ate it. But when you eat what you think is a non-kosher steak, there's no benefit of the doubt. You ate it. What's going to be the benefit of the doubt? That what? That if you would have known it was, if you've known it was straight, you wouldn't eat it. You ate it. You thought it was straight. There's nothing more to think about. So therefore, the first time is like the third time when you didn't do it because of circumstances beyond your control. Everybody follow me? Okay. So that is the Chovos HaLevavos. Ein Hachinami. Person basically gets punished for making bad decisions. But it has to be a bad decision. Decision means that you really would have done it barring circumstances beyond your control. But if there's a place to say that we can give you the credit, the benefit of the doubt, that you wouldn't have done it, so you didn't have a machshava ro. That's not called a bad decision. You make a decision. So there's no question on the Chovos HaLevavos from that. The question is on the other way. Okay? According to this, according to the Chovos HaLevavos, everything that happens in this world only happens because Hashem wants it to happen. Okay, therefore, if I murder somebody, God wanted that person dead. Now, he could have killed them a million different ways. But since I made a bad decision to murder somebody, God used my bad decision to do what he wanted to do. But, in fact, it's Ratzon Hashem that that person is dead. Because I don't have the ability to carry it through on my own. It's only if God wants. And he used my bad decision to do what he wants. That's called Megalgel in Chol Al Yedei Chayiv.
Did he want you to do it?
No. I have free choice to decide.
So not everything happens.
No. But the fact that that person died is Ratzon Hashem. No, in the end, that was Ratzon Hashem, but it wasn't Ratzon Hashem that forced me to do it. I had free choice to do it. Ultimately, it was Ratzon Hashem that that be done. But
by that person that it be done?
Ultimately, in the general thing, yes. But not that it affected his choice. That's all. You made the bad choice. God didn't make you make the bad choice. Right.
He still wanted that whoever did it should do it.
Whatever. How the Rebbe thinks about it is beyond us. Right. Everything's Ratzon Hashem. At least we can understand that result was Ratzon Hashem. Okay. This really is a machlokas between the Zohar and the Chovos HaLevavos. Okay. The Zohar is brought down by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayeshev. There, the Torah says that the brothers originally wanted to kill Yosef. And then Reuven said, Al tishpechu dam, don't kill him. Hashlicheil labor hazeh asher basadeh, let's throw him into a pit. And the Zohar says they knew that there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So what was going to help to throw him into a pit and not kill him? They're killing him also. If you throw somebody after snakes and scorpions, you're a murderer too. And the Gemara says that if you see someone fall into a pit of snakes and scorpions, and you don't see what happened to the body, right? You got to run away in the middle of the battle, and you saw your friend fall into a pit, and you saw there were snakes and scorpions there, poisonous snakes and scorpions, and you had to run away. You can testify that he's dead, and his wife can get married. It's Gemara Gittin. Why? Because even though sometimes snakes and scorpions do not attack, but if you fall on them, they consider that an attack by you, and they attack back. So it's clear, 100%, the guy is dead. Okay? So what in the world did they gain by throwing him into a pit with snakes and scorpions? If you say they didn't know, okay, but the Zohar says they didn't know. Says the Zohar, supposedly. And says the Or HaChaim, supposedly. I say supposedly because they don't say that. This is the way everybody quotes them. That they said like this: we have free choice, and therefore we can kill somebody even if God does not want him dead. There's no proof, therefore, if we kill Yosef, that he's not a tzaddik. Could be a tzaddik, but we have free choice, and human beings with free choice can do things against God's will. But animals do not have free choice. So if we throw him into a pit with animals, if he's a tzaddik, the animals can't kill him. Just like the Gemara says in Tainus. It's not the orod that kills, it's the chayt that kills. Reb Chanina Mendoza was able to put his foot, not get that affected. So if he's a tzaddik, they're not going to kill him. And if he's not a tzaddik, so he deserves to die. Well, let the snakes and scorpions make the decision. Because they're directed by God, and we are not. Comes out, everybody quotes these two sources, really one source, that what people do can go against Ratzon Hashem. I can hurt someone, and it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem that he should be hurt. I can steal from him, and it's not Ratzon Hashem that he should be stolen from. I did it with my free choice, and God wanted him to lose that money, and I made him lose the money, but not Ratzon Hashem. That's what they say. Now, on the surface, that's it. What?
So why did, if according to that, why did they sell him afterward?
Yeah. What? Yeah, it's a good question. Because they said, okay, he's not liable to a death penalty, but he's liable to get out of the scene because he's putting Klal Yisrael into danger. So he's not a rodent that deserves death, but selling him is okay. They changed their mind from a death sentence to a slave sentence. Okay, there's a big problem with that. Because it really makes this world not a fair place. I mean, people with their bad free choice can cause a lot of heartache, a lot of tsar, a lot of injustice in the world, and God just stands by and says, well, you know, I let people have free choice, let them do whatever they want. It's a very cruel God who would let such a thing happen. Yeah?
I heard that there was a young about Yosef, that the British Borough thought to interfere with man's free will, Yosef would have to be on a higher level than if the British Borough would interfere with the animal's free will.
Okay, hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. The something similar to that, not that. In any case, so according to that opinion, it's very difficult, right, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch would let injustices happen. People can do terrible things. I would rather believe that, but people say, you know, you can't blame God for the Holocaust. Blame the Nazis. God gave people free choice, and the Nazis had free choice, and they decided to do what they did, and therefore they could kill 6 million Jews. According to this Shita, seems to be right. But that doesn't make God any better, right? They're doing this to defend God. In my estimation, that's much worse. Why would I want to believe in a God that would permit people to kill 6 million innocent people for no reason, only because I gave him free choice? I would rather believe that God said, it's my will that those 6 million people should die, and die the way they did. I could have prevented the Nazis from doing it, and I didn't. The Nazis will get Gehenim, Netzach Netzachim, for what they did, because their intention was bad. But I let it happen because in the eternal picture, that's what these people needed. It was good for them. I'd rather believe that beyond my comprehension than believe that God could let something happen for no purpose. People suffer for no purpose only because he gave people free choice. In fact, I think that that's what the Rambam says, not the simple meaning. Rambam says if you believe that things can happen in this world haphazardly and it's not all Ratzon Hashem, then it's derech achzorios. It's cruel to think like that. So the simple meaning is it's cruel because if you don't do tshuva and realize that bad things happen because of averas, then you won't do tshuva and more bad things will happen. So you're a cruel person, causing more bad things to happen. That's a simple meaning how most people learn it. But what I think it means is, if I believe that God could let things happen for no reason, that are really painful to people, really harmful, then God is cruel. And I have a mitzvah to emulate him. So I should be cruel. Mahu achzori afatate achzori. So it's a derech of cruelty. So how does that work out? How do those shitas hold such a thing? So I found a medrash in Parshas Vaeschanan that answers the question. The medrash says that ki lo yechupar dam ha nirtzo, no, it says something like that, ki im bedam shofchu. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam will not atone for murder only with the blood of the murderer. So the murderer has to die in a violent way, either by Mises Beisdin or the Goel Hadam, in order for there to be kapara. So the Medrash says, very nice, but doesn't happen. There are a lot of murderers that die peacefully in their bed at 100 years old. So where's the kapara? Says the Medrash, there'll come a time by Trias HaMason when all the murderers will come back and all the murder victims will come back. And the murderers will be executed at that time by Trias HaMesim, and that will affect the kapara, and it'll be such a strong kapara, I'm adding this, that the people who were killed and years taken off their life will somehow be compensated in such a way that they'll never feel they lost anything. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do that. Okay? And that answers another question, the purpose of Trias HaMesim. The Ramban says Trias HaMesim and Olam Haba the same thing. Olam Haba is a world to come, body and soul, and it doesn't exist now. It's a new world that will be created to accommodate people who come back to life for eternity. The Rambam says no. Olam Haba is a spiritual world which exists now. It's where the neshamas are now. And eventually all the neshamas will go back to them. Except there'll be a time between this world and Olam Haba, the Olam HaNeshamos, when the neshamas will come back to the body and eventually go out again. So everybody asks, what's the purpose of that? If that's not the end, and the neshamas already in Gan Eden, after they lived in this world, why bring them back again from an encore? They're just going to go back to Olam Haba again. So why bring them back? According to this, it's to bring them back to right all the wrongs that were done by people's free choice. So there's going to be a time when all of the, and it says that in the Pasuk Taka, right? Elu l'deiron olam, the elu l'chayim. People come back alive, some to be punished and some to be rewarded. So that answers that question. It answers also why there's an olam, that Tchias HaBeisim, according to the Rambam, what's the purpose of it? So it's not that there's no justice, but it doesn't happen now. It'll happen at a later time. But in order to give people real free choice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to bring the justice till Tchias HaMeisim. Could be. But those are the two opinions. So he brings a raya, that's for Friedlander, that the Ramchal doesn't hold like the Cholos HaLevavos. Because he says a person has three parts to his free choice. Intellectual, to decide what's right and what's wrong. Emotional, to do what's right and what's wrong, to choose to do what's right and what's wrong, and to actually carry out what's right and what's wrong. I don't think that the Zohar or the Or HaChaim HaKadosh say what I told you. That's what everybody says they say. But if you look at it carefully, I didn't bring the Zohar with me, nor the Or HaChaim, but you can go look it up. What they say is the following. What they say is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not interfere with people's free choice. It's just that it's harder for the Ribbono Shel Olam to interfere with a person's free choice than with an animal's free choice. Which means the following. And they don't even say it in that way. They say it in a way that the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses, it's a bigger nes to do something against people's free choice, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do that. Except where a person is in a matzav of sakana, he needs more schus. He needs to be on a higher level. Something similar to what Baruch was saying, but not exactly. Because I saw that there's some people who say what you're saying, but you don't even have to come on to that. Like an example, a person wakes up in the morning, he's not going to supposed to die that day. Okay? No reason for him to die. He goes and ties himself to the railroad tracks. Okay? Now the Chora, he wasn't supposed to die that day. So he says to himself, look, if God wants me to die, I could have stayed in the house and a meteor would have come to the roof and killed me. If he doesn't want me to die, then the train's just going to float over me. Bad decision. Why? Because the train is not going to float over you. Why not? When you woke up this morning, you weren't supposed to die. So why now all of a sudden did things change? Very simply. Because when you woke up in the morning, you weren't supposed to die, because if things would go naturally, you wouldn't need miracles to live. And you don't deserve miracles. So you'll live. But if you tie yourself to the train tracks, or somebody else ties you to the train tracks, your din in Shemayim now changed. Now, in order to live, you need miracles. You don't deserve miracles. So you're going to die. You have a new din at that moment. New din. That's Ratzon Hashem, but it's Ratzon Hashem based on your new din. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu to meddle with people's free choice, even though he does it. But you need a nes. If Yosef was perhaps on a higher madrega, then the Ribbono Shel Olam would have meddled with their free choice. If he wasn't, he deserved to die. According to that din, where he was holding then, he deserved to die. Right? Wasn't that he didn't deserve to die and they were killing him, Shelo Beratzon Hashem? But now, in this matzav, where somebody wants to kill you, you need a nes, he didn't deserve a nes. Mashiach came for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to meddle in the what animals do, there you don't need a nes. There, the Ribbono Shel Olam easily, what's it called, meddles with the actions of animals. Right? They don't have free choice. So therefore, you don't need a nesh to be saved from them. So it's easier for the Rabban Hashem to do it, so you can be on a lower madriga and still be saved. So it's what's it called? There, if the animals don't kill you, it's natural. So therefore, it'll be a raya if you're a tzaddik or not a tzaddik. But over here, if they kill you, it could be raya, no raya that you're not a tzaddik, you're just not a tzaddik of such a level that you deserve nisim. That's all. Here, it says you're a tzaddik of a regular level if they don't kill you. So it's not that things happen that are not Ratzon Hashem. It's just that the Ratzon Hashem can change according to the situation, and the situation creates a new din and a new Ratzon Hashem. It's a little difficult because we're still coming onto the fact that a human being can change the matzav and change the Ratzon Hashem. But it's not as difficult as saying that things happen and the Ratzon Hashem doesn't want it to happen at all. He wants it to happen. Except he judges every situation according to Bashir Husham, and whatever the situation is at that moment, that's the Ratzon Hashem. So what's happening is God's will. It's just that God's will changes according to the situation. Yeah.
It must have been Yosef that the Prophet didn't interfere with their will by making them put him in the scorpions. Where over there, you don't need such a miracle to save him. So that's because the Prophet did do a massive miracle.
Could be, but it could be he didn't change their will.
So
they did it on their own.
We don't have to come and say that Yosef wasn't on the Madriga to have this miracle done for him.
Yeah, whatever.
It was done.
Yeah, whatever.
See,
right, but it's not that if they had killed him, it would be no raya if it was Ratzon Hashem or not. It would have been Ratzon Hashem. But it would have been Ratzon Hashem according to the Madriga. Had they killed him. Right. We don't see anything about Yosef from the fact that they didn't kill him. Had they killed him, we would have seen something maybe about Yosef. That's all.
I'm saying even more than that. I'm saying that we see that Yosef was such a tzaddik that Hashem interferes with.
Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe they decided on their own not to kill him.
What, to put him in the
Zeh? Yeah. Oh.
They wanted to kill him, and then they ended up putting him in the
Right, room. No, but that they could have changed on their own. That could be, wasn't the Rabbanim to kill. Yeah, that's same, but there's no raya one way or the other. Okay, in any case, yes.
As far as Hashem is concerned, it says that they have the Yecholet. So you can have that Yecholet. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, right, you have that Yecholet for the minute that you decide. It doesn't mean you're going to actually get it done. You know, that third thing is a change.
Yeah, but what's the third thing? It's not
the
three things.
The third thing is that you have the Yecholet to do it when you're making that decision, but it still doesn't mean that the Pasuk could actually do it.
It doesn't mean that you will use that Yecholet.
Right.
It means that at least you had the possibility when you made the decision of eating that steak.
Right.
If you were to get lockjaw and you couldn't eat the steak, you wouldn't have had the Yecholet. You had the choice, but you can't do it. You could do it. That doesn't mean you are going to do it. It just means that you could. Very good. So it could be there's no raya from him, the Cholal. Not like Rabbi Freelander. The Keneged, the Chofas, all above us. Because the Yecholet, very good. The Yecholet does not necessarily mean that you have the ability to carry it out. But at the time you made the decision, I mean, if you make a decision and you can't do it, what kind of decision is that? So the decision has to be on something that you could conceivably do. But that doesn't mean that you're actually going to be able to do it. Yeah, very good. The sentence. Very good. I have to write it down when I get it.
As the rabbi said earlier about the time the person has a third chance. He's staying on Sunday and then on Monday. So people that are Baalei Teshuva already used up all their first two choices?
No.
Chances?
Because it always bothered me. If you do it two times, the rest of your life is. So if you do Teshuva, you start again. Right? It's like putting the speedometer back to zero. And not only that, but the motor becomes new too. Not just putting it back to zero.
According to the Chaim Freelander, is there any way to make it so that the Rambam is not arguing on the Gemara? Or has another pshat in the Gemara? Of
which Gemara?
Of Al-Kovalei Shemayim plus Niyur Shemayim?
Al-Kovalei Shemayim could just mean the Yira Shemayim is this thing of doing averus is not beyond Hashem. According to the, either, according to either pshat, no, right. According to either pshat, either it's going on the decision. Kol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirushamayim is decisions that have to do with yirushamayim. According to the other pshat, it means literally everything is in Hashem's hand except things that are nogea to yirushamayim, where you can do things connected with Hashem. You can learn it either way. It's going on the decision or it's going on the action. But what Bakya said is, the more I think about it, it's mamish emes lanitha. There's no raya from here, from the fact of yecholes. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that you can actually carry it out. He's saying that in order to have free choice, that's be something conceivably you could do. Because if the Rabban Shalom couldn't make it that you couldn't do it, you can have all the choice you want. There's no choice. So you can conceivably do it. That doesn't mean you're going to end up doing it. Yeah. You don't have to decide. The Rambam says, the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yontif says it, that when it comes to things that are not nogeya lahalacha, right, there's no hachroah. And they both have an emes.
And you have to the way I'm going to live my life based off of memuna and bitachon and this type of stuff.
Right? Yeah, so you take both into consideration. According to them, this is the way. According to them, this is the way. And they bring rise of the Rambam Paschkins in different places, like different shitas in the Gemara, like Shmuel, that ain't been all the mazel, the most Mashiach, and sometimes he passes. There's other answers. But it has to be something that's not nogeya to a mitzvah, even of emuna, whatever. But how the Rabban Shalom functions, that's his business. So I don't have to make the decisions. I just have to be the object of them. So how I'm an object is up to the Rabban Shalom. And therefore it could be like this, could be like that, and both of them could be emes. If it's nogeya to my emuna, it's a different story.
Or just a silha rab, if you don't know what to do, ask your rab.
That's what I'm doing.
Right. Sometimes with these kind of things, there's no hachra. Yeah.
What about the random shalom,
the thing? In a there are kashas on both things.
That's a kasha?
Yeah, it's one of the kashas. It's mashma that, look, all the Gedolei Yisrael of the past generation, few generations, Chofetz Chaim, all the books on emuna and bitachon take on like the Chofetz HaLevavos. And nobody can harm you unless the Rabban Shalom wants it to happen. That doesn't exonerate him from punishment, but you should know this, Ratzon Hashem. But the Maisa, there is such another sheet that we made it not so serious of a sheet to Keneged, right? Just a little bit different. But there are those that hold the mamish that's a pshat. Again, from what seems to be the hashkafas of the Gedolei Yisrael, the past generations, it's clear that they held like the Chofetz HaLevavos. Okay. So, the brief features.